very much a pleasure to be here, and I see in the first row somebody from Bozeman, Montana, and that's where I went to graduate school. So anyway, always nice to see folks. I have nothing to disclose in this presentation. The title of this is Talking Circles, Improved Diabetes Self-Management. This was a research that was funded by the National Association, National Institutes of Diabetes, Digestive, and Kidney Diseases. It was a pilot study. Acknowledgements. The first one is my son, because he actually gave me the idea of going for this study. And the other two individuals, Rudy Mitchell and Dwight Howe, were both Omaha natives from the Omaha tribe, and they gave some contributions in terms of historical perspective. So this study was to ask the question, does the use of the culturally appropriate talking circle with diabetes self-management improve group outcomes versus traditional face-to-face diabetes education alone? The Rosebud Sioux Tribe in Rosebud, South Dakota, was my control group. They received once a week face-to-face diabetes education using the Indian Health Service curriculum, Balancing Your Life and Diabetes. The Omaha Tribe, which is 75 miles north of Omaha, was the experimental group. They also received once a week face-to-face diabetes education, but they also had a talking circle, and I'll go into that in a little bit. This is a bird's eye view of the Rosebud Indian Health Service Hospital in Rosebud, South Dakota. It's located in central South Dakota. The population of the reservation is 21,000, with many tribal communities throughout the 1,970 square mile reservation. This is a close-up of the Rosebud Indian Hospital. And as you see, it's built in a circular design, which is fairly common, representing the circle that American Indians refer to in terms of the four directions, or the four parts of mind, body, spirit, and emotion. It's a very sacred symbol. This is an aerial view of Macy, Nebraska, and this was my view, or still continues to be my view, on the way up to the reservation. That's the Missouri River. And the word Omaha actually means against the current. This is the Carl T. Curtis Health Education Center in Macy, Nebraska. It's independently owned and operated by the Omaha Tribe. And there are about 1,000 people in Macy, Nebraska. And the reservation covers 307 square miles and is home to about 5,000 Omaha tribal members. This is an example of the invitation that was sent. What we identified were there were over 700 individuals on the Rosebud Sioux Tribe alone who were eligible to participate in the study. The eligibility was 21 years of age or older, diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and had a hemoglobin A1C of 7 or greater. Are there those in the room here that would like me? Do you know about hemoglobin A1C? I see a lot of heads. That's kind of the gold standard for the laboratory and for physicians for healthcare. It's an indication of the circulating blood sugar in an individual with diabetes. And so we try and get that at 7 or even lower. So what we did was we tailored an invitation. Once these individuals were randomly selected from a computer-generated printout, we then identified individuals who could be invited into the study. And so we tried to tailor this as personally as we could. So their name was handwritten into the invitation. And as you see up there, what we did was this was the same on the Rosebud Sioux Tribe and the Omaha Tribe. Just so you know, we treated everybody identically except for the talking circle. So every time they came, they attended a weekly face-to-face education session. We served them a healthy lunch. We sent the participants home with about $20 worth of healthy foods and recipes for the following week. And at the end of their participation in the study, they received a pair of Nike Air 7 native shoes. And then we asked them to have a routine blood lead level check and some other quantitative measures at the start of the study, at 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and 12 months. So we followed both groups over the course of the year. And as you see in this particular invitation, because this was from the Omaha tribe, we also mentioned attending weekly diabetes education talking circles that were led by a tribal elder. This is a picture of, I don't know exactly how to get rid of that. Okay, there we go. Okay, this is the picture of the altar that was placed on the floor in the diabetes education room up at Carl T. Curtis. So what you see is that you see a small smudge pottery pot. You see an eagle feather, and you see a talking stick. And over on the left was the audio recorder that I merely laid on the floor. I was given permission to audio tape the talking circles. So this is both a quantitative and qualitative study. I'm looking at measures for their physiological improvement, but I'm also, we did an analysis of the talking circles themselves. So at the beginning of each talking circle, the tribal elder, who in this situation was an individual with well-controlled type 2 diabetes, performed smudging, the sacred smoke blessing, a ceremony for cleansing and purification for the physical and spiritual bodies. Smudging calls on the spirits of sacred herbs and plants to drive away negative energies and to restore balance. A smudge is made by lighting a match to a ball of either sage or sweetgrass, which was used in our talking circle sessions. The material is then, once the smoke gets going, the tribal elder uses the eagle feather, and he would weigh the smoke up to Father, Son, Mother Earth, and to the four directions. And then, in the Omaha tradition, he then went from left in the circle to his immediate left and smudged the individual talking circle participants. And many of them then, when the smoke comes, they pull it over their head and down to immerse their body. So that is essentially how a talking circle works. There are some rules of a talking circle, if you will, or protocols for a talking circle. Only one person speaks at a time. They introduce themselves. They are encouraged to speak from the heart. They listen with respect to the other individuals, and what is said in the talking circle stays in the talking circle. So once the tribal elder did the smudging introduction, then he sat down and usually opened it with a prayer, and then he told a story that was relevant to what the topic for the diabetes education was that day. If it was about how do you handle stress, or how do you not eat a lot of birthday cake at a party and try and have better nutrition. So then he would take the talking stick and hand it to the person on their left, on his left. They held the talking stick, and while they were talking, they hold the stick, and then when they're done, they pass it to the next individual. So the key themes of the Omaha tribe for the talking circle participants were spirituality, the power of prayer and seeking out higher power, gratitude to Grandmother Earth and Grandfather Sun, and these themes of sharing, laughter, denial, fatalism, acceptance, and the challenges. And so, since we know that all behavior has meaning, we're trying to identify what causes behaviors and can they be changed and how could they be changed. And Dwight Howe, the individual I mentioned at the beginning of this, reminded me that, you know, actually the American Indian culture in terms of the United States is only about 160 years old, because they have had to acculturate to some extent to the American ways since about the 1850s, when many of the individuals were taken off the reservations, or I mean put onto reservations, I'm sorry, and relocated, and so that historical trauma piece. And so he said, you know, if you put it in that perspective, 160 years is not a really long time for cultures to kind of find their way and try and adapt to the white man's world and still hold on to their own cultures and beliefs. So sharing. I'm a diabetic, and I was kind of reluctant to first sign up for this because I don't like to be around a whole lot of people. But anyway, here I am. And ever since I've been coming to this, I've been having a better outlook on life and how to take care of myself a lot better. And I just want to thank everybody for being here and sharing their stories. So thanks, everybody. Example of fatalism. We expected to get diabetes because one of our parents had it. Denial. I quit taking my medication, and my doctor got after me. I got mad at my daughter for telling on me. I'm glad now that she did, because it got me back. I don't take care of myself, and I get lectured every day by my daughter, but I'm trying now. I'm a type 2 diabetic, which I still don't agree with sometimes. I've tried to find out a way to say I'm not diabetic, but I'm running out of reasons. And many of the people in the talking circle laughed, because they could share in that challenge. Example of family effects. This past week, I've had a big life change. I took in 3 foster kids. 2 are in Pampers. It's really stressful, but I'm trying to adjust. I'm neglecting myself because I'm so busy. I've forgotten to take my meds a couple of days, and I really don't want to do that, so I'm just trying to get through the adjusting time right now. My kids are all older, so it has been a really big change for me. Acceptance. Diabetes does control us, you know. Just no way around it. So the best we can do is learn to live with it and still be happy. Another individual said, I see my mother going through it. Really bad. She's on dialysis. I don't want to be that way. So I'm here to learn and help myself. Some examples of coping. The specific category of coping included behaviors such as participating in the talking circles, motivators and specific behaviors that prompted adherence to dietary and medication regimens, such as recognizing the importance of and participating in exercise and the effects of adherence. So as you see from these examples, one individual's A1C went down when they lost some weight. Another one switched from sugar, sweetened Coca-Cola to Diet Coke, and another one really did appreciate the fact that if they did exercise, they were able to lower their A1C. So I called all the talking circle participants. I called to ask them what they liked best about being in the study, and I also called the Rosebud Sioux Tribe individuals as well. But for the talking circle, these were the most prominent response. It was good to be here. Makes me feel like I'm not alone in struggling with diabetes. I talked. I cried. My life felt better after that. I'm glad to be here. It really helped me. I always like coming to this. I learn a lot in here. It's interesting. I'm going to miss everybody. I wish we could continue to get together once a month or so. Now, that was the qualitative piece. Now you've got to switch your hat to the quantitative piece. Do we have some quantitative researchers or individuals that like to do data in the room? Okay, so this is where you will probably feel a little bit more home. So just to give you a perspective, as you see, with both populations, both tribes, greater than 50% of the people have a hemoglobin A1C that's greater than 7. This pilot study included 39 individuals. There were 30 females and 9 males. The average age range was 32 to 79 years of age. And the two groups were really pretty comparable. We did a correlation for age, length of time with type 2 diabetes, and A1Cs. And so they were very comparable study groups. All right, I tried to put the highlights in red here, but don't get too bogged down. I'll just briefly tell you that in looking at this slide, what you see is the experimental group, which was the Omaha tribe, who received the talking circle. Looking at this, 5 The gold standard for A1C, as I mentioned, is 7 or less. Their diabetes control was significantly better at 5 different points. So they had achieved statistically significant differences in terms of lowering their A1C. And the Rosebud Sioux Tribe at one point did have a statistically significant reduction in their hemoglobin A1C. We look at their actual BMI in the experimental group had, as you see, one statistically significant reduction in BMI, and in both of the groups did lose some weight. The population data for blood pressure is, as you see up there, with some significance. So we do know that there might be an effect in terms of lowering their blood pressure. This is a pair of the Nike Air 7 shoes. And I did have to show that because that was a highlight. So in case you're confused by the 1OT and 2OT, we ran two different cohorts. So we had the first group for 12 weeks, and then we waited for the weather to clear and a few things, and then we had another group. So that's why it says 1OT, meaning the first group, the second group, same with Rosebud. The participants at Rosebud showing their Nike Air 7 athletic shoes, which they received at the end of the 12 weeks. The native seventh generation philosophy states that in every deliberation, we must consider the impact of our decisions on the next seven generation. They loved the shoes. And quality of life questions, they were asked every 3 months when they came in for the quantitative measures, these two questions. And as you see, there was an increase in their perception of quality of life. It was a simple Likert scale. The only explanation I can give you for the decrease in the Rosebud Tribe in the first cohort of the Rosebud Tribe was that one individual who participated in that study actually lost her son, the death of a son. So we think maybe that could have been, you know, the reason. And lastly, the summary of diabetes self-care activities. You see, those are about 11 questions that they're asked, like in the last 7 days, how many times did you exercise? How many times did you eat healthy fruits and vegetables? How many times did you check your blood sugar, etc.? So you see, once again, with the experimental group, that there were more statistically significant results in terms of positive indicators for diabetes self-management than in the control group. What are the lessons learned? Wisdom is gained by realizing that education is never ending. Even death is a final lesson. Wisdom is gained by listening to your elders. They have walked a longer path than you. And none of us is as smart as all of us. So in closing, I believe the findings from this pilot study indicate that talking circles have utility in improving adherence in American Indian adults with uncontrolled type 2 diabetes. Further studies are warranted extending the use of the talking circle after completion of traditional diabetes education. And I'm in the process of now applying for an R01, which will be a 5-year study, to further explore whether or not talking circles do improve diabetes self-management outcomes and to try and bring that culturally appropriate component back into Native American communities. So I thank you for this.